Blog Talk Radio
presents applause. Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and we've got a very, very special broadcast today, all the way from the UK, Mr. Malcolm Bruce, and he's got a new project out, and we're going to talk to him. But first, let me just say I'm sorry. We're a little delayed here. We had an issue with connectivity. I don't know why I stay on this platform. I guess because we're approaching our 500th episode, and I'd hate to walk away from that. But anyway, I thank you guys for your patience and especially our guests. Thank you so much. Welcome to the show, everybody. Musician Malcolm Bruce. How are you, sir? Thank you so much for joining me today from the UK. I appreciate it so much.
Hey, Joanne. Great to be here. No worries about the slight delay. We've all had those, you know.
Oh, my God. Malcolm, when I tell you the issues that I have with this platform, I don't know why
What's on it.
It's just amazing to me. It's called Blog Talk Radio, and it's just nonsense.
Oh, okay.
I've been trying to log in since 2:45, 15 minutes. I even tried on my phone, and I still tried on my phone and still couldn't get in. I'm like, is there an internet connection problem? I had nothing. So anyway, I am just honored and a pleasure to have you. I'm excited about your new release, Heavenly Cream, acoustic tribute to Cream. So tell us how this all came about. I mean, how long has this been in the works?
Well, yeah, it's been quite a long process. We started, Pete Brown, the Cream lyricist, who passed away earlier this year, he started talking to the record label, Quarto Valley Records, back in, I think, the end of 2017. And then we put the whole thing together and went into the studio in 2018. And we shot a documentary that's being released alongside the actual record. So it was a pretty big project to sort of pull together. And by the end of 2019, we were kind of ready to release. And then all of our lives imploded, apparently, during the pandemic thing, whatever we want to call that. So it's taken a while. And I think now feels like the right time. The label got behind it. They want to release it now. So it's exciting, yeah.
Absolutely. And I can't even imagine how exciting it is for you. I mean, your dad was Jack Bruce, the bassist, and one of the masterminds behind Cream. And, I mean, I'm just curious to know if Pete got to hear any of the finished product, any of the songs that were finally mixed or anything, because he did work on it with you too, I believe, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was really Pete's project, and he brought me in to support him. Absolutely. He heard the whole record in its final form and saw the documentary. It was all finished a while ago, and he only passed away sort of earlier this summer.
Right.
So, yeah, he did. I mean, he got to enjoy it in that sense, and I think he was very proud of it. And we had Ginger Baker actually playing on the record, so we have the original drummer from Cream, in case anyone doesn't know that fact. Really great cast of characters on the record.
Absolutely.
Ginger, as I mentioned, Joe Bonamassa, Paul Rogers, Bernie Marsden, and Neil Murray from Whitesnake. Bobby Rush, who I'm a huge fan of, obviously, incredible guy. Pee-wee Ellis, the sax player from James Brown's band. Clem Clemson from Humble Pie.
Yeah, you've got a great cast of musicians on this.
Yeah, lots of people.
Oh, my God. Did Ginger get to hear anything before he passed, finished product?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure if Ginger would have wanted to listen to it. He was an incredible person, but he was very in the moment in that sense. I think he came in. I mean, we made most of the record at Abbey Road Studios in London.
Yeah. Very
and
cool.
We did a couple of sessions early on at a place called Sensible Music, but then we moved to Abbey Road, and when Ginger came in, he came in on two separate days and laid down, I think, four songs. But Ginger's approach, I think probably always, although I wasn't even alive during the Cream era, but my experience of Ginger was that he would come in and just play, and it wasn't like overthinking something or going crazy with rehearsal or doing 20 takes or something. So really, we did one or two takes for each song, and then he left.
In and out. Well,
in and
listen,
out. In and out.
What I heard was phenomenal.
Drum tech,
the music,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, he definitely is a one-shot guy because, man, it was great. Everything on this album is great. I'm curious to know if his son had anything. I believe his son is a drummer as well. No? Did Kofi play at all?
Yes, I've worked with Kofi a lot over the years, actually. We had a band out on the road a few years ago called Music of Cream, and we did around 100 shows together, some across the States. Yeah, Kofi's amazing. He's an amazing musician, but he wasn't involved in this project. But he's definitely worth checking out. He's kind of taken what his dad did, you know, in terms of African polyrhythms and just a particular approach to drumming, and he's kind of made it his own as well. So Kofi's amazing. I mean, I'll probably do something with Kofi down the road again at some point, but at the moment I'm focused on my new solo record. But yes, Kofi's incredible. Yeah, great guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to know, in your conversations with your father prior to passing, if he ever had any intentions of doing anything with Cream prior to his passing. Did he ever like talk about, oh man, if we could get the band back together again or something? I mean, cause it's just amazing that so much came out of Cream in a matter of only 3 years, you know, I mean, just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I was in a band I was living in LA and I think it was 93. And they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I went down, my dad invited me down to the ceremony and I sat with them and they got their awards from ZZ Top, I think. And but they got up in Fuzz, I remember. So I got to see them play then. And I think that was the first time they'd ever played together since, you know, 1968 or whatever it was. And then in 2004, I think, or 2005, they did the Cream, the sort of official reunion. And they did four or five nights at the Albert Hall in London, and then they did three nights at Madison Square Garden. So at that point, you know, if anybody doesn't know, it's one of the kind of rock myths or kind of rock narratives that my dad and Ginger Baker would kept falling out. So by the end of that reunion, they'd sort of fallen out again somehow.
Again.
I think Ginger might have accused my dad of playing too loud, or it's the same old story, you know.
Yep.
Jack playing too loud.
The same band bullshit that bands deal with.
Yeah,
all the time.
I mean, it's not the first time, won't be the last time that people fall. I mean, I just, you know, actually, the band with me and Kofi, I've just spent 4 years in a court in litigation to get paid, and I won the case. But you know, that just is part of the course with when you get involved with certain kinds of people in the business. And in terms of, you know, being on the road with people, you love them, right? You actually love these people. But by the end of 3 months in a tour bus, you hate them.
Right, you want to kill each other. I know,
And then you take a break, and then you love them again. So it's just kind of can be that sort of dynamic. And I for whatever reason, at the, you know, the end of that reunion with Cream, they were being offered, you know, because Ahmet Ertegun was still around from Atlantic. He was involved. Everyone was involved and wanting it to be this thing that could sort of potentially take off again. So I believe they were being offered big shows in Japan and, you know, big shows in the U.S., et cetera, for really big money.
Yeah.
But I think at that point, Eric might have sort of thrown his hands up. I don't know. You'd have to ask him. But I think, you know, because Jack and my dad and Ginger were sort of bickering, I think Eric just wouldn't, he wouldn't.
Yeah, he didn't want to deal with it.
Through that again.
Yeah.
Because he kind of didn't want to, he didn't want to deal with it the first time. I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know. But
right,
I don't
right.
know all the details. But it was, yes, I mean, I think my dad wanted to do, it was a really special thing for them to all get that together. But, you know, as you say, it was like for my dad, for all of them, it was a 2.5-3 year part of their careers, and their careers went on for 50, 55, 60 years.
Yeah,
Eric still working amazing, you know, doing incredible things. So they all had a long career before Cream and after Cream.
After.
And, So what would that
well,
be?
Well, yeah.
C and A C.
Well, you know, they were considered obviously one of the first super groups and probably one of the first groups to probably fall out, you know, with such a short time together and having so much success in such a short time, too. And so many bands were influenced by them and kind of broke open the door for heavy metal to some degree. And just amazing. That would have been a phenomenal tour. Oh, my God. That would have just blew up if they had gotten back together. Wow. And you know what?
No,
I'm curious.
I think it was close.
Go ahead.
Close
go ahead.
To happening, but I think for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. But, you know, we have amazing, you know, recordings and videos of those reunion shows. So, you know, it's there.
Right.
You know, it's documented, which is, which is pretty good.
I'm curious to know, do you know if Eric Clapton has heard any of this, too? Or has it been sent to him, or we don't know?
Of Heavenly Cream? I'm not sure actually, but I was involved with Pete Brown's final solo record, which was a completely separate project to this, called The Shadow Club, and that's coming out next year. And Eric is actually guesting on the title track on that record. So, you know, Eric agreed to play on Pete's record, which was lovely, and it's a beautiful song, incredible song, and a beautiful guitar playing that Eric. Recorded for this record. So, and that's a record where I'm playing bass, and the drummer is a guy called Richard Bailey, who's incredible. He was on Jeff Beck's Blow by Blow and toured with Steve Winwood for many years, and also played with Bob Marley. So he's just another amazing musician. So yes, Eric's on that record, but I don't know whether anyone sent this to. I mean, I might send it to him at some point. I don't like to hassle. I don't know. I'm not like super close to Eric, and I don't like to sort of hassle him because he might be making dinner for his kids or something.
Something.
You know how it is.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. It is Eric Clapton after all, right? So.
It's true. It's like Eric Clapton. No, I mean, it's funny. Like all of that stuff is funny because obviously I grew up with somebody that my dad was famous, and then I've gone into the business, and there's a bit of, you do play a bit of a game with all that stuff, but at the same time, you're just a human being as well. And there's like a humility in the creative process that you kind of have to retain if you're going
to be
actually creative, you know? So,
of course.
So,
now you guys could have gone anyway with this. You could have went in and just laid it down the way it was, maybe put a little tweak here and there, but you chose acoustic. Whose idea was the acoustic, to do it acoustic? It's so cool.
Yeah, I think it was Pete and the label in their initial discussions kind of looking at a slightly different way to do it, you know, because obviously we as musicians, you know, those songs have become like standard songs that people play in the blues rock tradition, and as you said before, you know, just stuff that a lot of other music has been built upon in various different ways. So, you know, it's standard to get up and plug a guitar into a Marshall and turn it up to 11 and play those kinds of songs. It's fun, you know, but it's also really interesting to take a slightly different approach. And, you know, even though it's an acoustic record, it's not a kind of quiet acoustic record.
No,
like a Joni record. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Joni Mitchell. and all different kinds of music. But this is a, this is still rocking. It's still got
yep.
punch. And, you know, just with that proviso of we are not allowed to play an electric instrument. You're not allowed to bring an electric instrument into the studio. You will be turned around at the door. No, I'm kidding. But no, just don't tell anyone. But I think I did play electric bass on a couple of tracks. But because it's a bass, you can't really tell.
Yeah.
But just don't tell anyone. I mean, it's not like we're talking.
Don't tell anyone. We got 50 million listeners worldwide.
Exactly.
They just found out.
They won't even be listening. They won't even, you know, they'll be falling into their soup, stoned
well,
out of their minds, like the rest of the world. No, I'm kidding.
Well, the album is going to be released November 1st. I picked four tunes. I don't want to give away the album here today. So I picked four tunes,
okay.
If that's okay. And I'd love to play one right now, one of my favorites.
Oh, fantastic, yeah.
All right, this is one of my favorites, and this has Deborah Bonham on vocals, Bernie Marsden on guitar, Malcolm on piano, and Neil Murray on bass, and Frank Tanto on drums. So check this one out, guys. You're going to love this. Every one of these songs are fantastic. Enjoy. Nice. Deborah sounds fantastic. She's been on the show before, actually. Oh, man.
Oh,
what a
yeah.
great version. Excellent. Love it.
Oh, that's
love
really
it.
Interesting
love
to hear it, like this over my phone. It's kind of interesting to hear it in a different context. But, yeah, just a little tidbit there. Frankie Tanto, the drummer, was actually in my dad's band, the final band that my dad had. He did, like, a residency at There's a very famous jazz club called Ronnie Scott's in London. It's like the world's most famous jazz club. But anyway, the house band there, the house blues band there, he sort of played with them during this residency and then asked them to be a touring band. So they went and did a bunch of gigs. But also Frankie was one of Amy Winehouse's drummers at some point. He's played with all kinds of people, George Michael, loads of people. He's a great, great drummer. So it's nice to hear. Nice to hear that over my phone.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I loved it. I loved it. And, folks, this album has all the hits. I mean, all the great stuff. I Feel Free, which we just heard. White Room, of course. We're not playing that tonight because I don't want to give that away. Theme for an Imaginary Western, We're Going Wrong, Sunshine of Your Love, Deserted Cities of the Heart, Sweet Wine, Tales of Brave Ulysses, Crossroads, Take It Back, Spoonful, Sitting on Top of the World, Badge, Politician, Born Under a Bad Sign. I mean, just packed with great, great songs. My God. I mean, and they all sound phenomenal. They all sound phenomenal. My goodness. So, Malcolm, I mean, when you were doing these songs, like I don't know, did you say, "Oh God, Dad, I'm gonna get it. You know, it's gonna be perfect. It's gonna be perfect." You know.
You know, I mean, I think with this record, it wasn't about perfection. I mean, look, Rob Cass was the producer. He's a great producer, so we were in good hands. Very experienced guy, and knows what he's doing. So, you know, and we were in Abbey Road, one of the best sounding studios in the world. And also with this kind of vibe, I mean, Abbey Road has this vibe. You go in and you do your best and you don't mess around. You're not spending all day on the hi-hat. You know, you're going in and you're performing as a band. And then, you know, it's modern recording. You tend to fix things, you know, you do some overdubs or you fix something, but overall, all of these songs were recorded as musicians playing together in the studio. And so it was about vibe. It was about feel, finding the song between us and performing it. And I'm hoping that we captured that rather than it being absolute perfection. And that's what my dad's approach to music was as well. It's got to be real. You know, we tend to be losing that more and more. I mean, there's great things about technology, incredible things about technology, but we're also losing the ability to just perform something because something is going to perform it for us to make it easier or whatever, or we can just lose something or whatever. So you know, to actually have some human beings in a room with all their kind of imperfections and good and bad shadings of character and all of that stuff, and then just kind of putting that all to one side and joining forces to create something. I think that's a magical energy, you know. So hopefully we got that on this record.
Nothing better than a live band getting together instead of using technology, like you said. Like, technology's great, but, you know, live band just does it so much better. And just to do it all together, being together and doing it and laying down the tracks.
And it's breathing, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing. You can feel the ebb and flow of the music, and you can feel the human people doing it. And that's really important, because all the problems, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of the problems we're experiencing in the world is because we're losing touch with those kind of very, very basic things, like, oh, you're a human, I'm a human, and have a nice day, you know.
right.
Like, oh, you happen to have a different pigment in your skin. Oh, so what? You're still a human. Oh, you're a different religion. Oh, well, big deal, you know. Well, I'd like to know what your thing's about, because I'd be interested. Not, I'm better than you because of this.
I know.
It's like, it's crazy. So, I mean, I think, you know, from us as musicians, in all humility, we can influence people for the better, you know, just by those very, very simple things, you know.
I've been saying it for the last maybe 2 years. We need music to solve our problem that's going on in this world. I mean, in the 60s, music brought us together, and the 70s, music brought us together. We need people to do that again for what's going on.
Yeah.
We need that kind of music. You know? I mean, there was some great stuff in the 60s. You know, I mean, just what the world needs now. Yeah, I mean, just to name a few. You know what I mean? Just songs that Sure. You know, song speaks to people. Like, music speaks to people. Like you said, it brings people, in my opinion, always brings people together. But anyway, who am I, right? So.
Yeah, no, it's complicated stuff, isn't it? And I think it also, you know, corporations became part of the music industry. It's a business. And so that sort of, like all business, it has an impact. People, the decisions made have an impact. You know, the great thing about Bruce Quarto at Quarto Valley is he does, you know, it's a small boutique label, but he's supporting, you know, it's a particular kind of music that he likes and that he's supporting, but it's real music, you know,
right.
And that's the thing. It's so he's one of the good guys in that sense that he's, you know, I mean, he got the Grammy for Edgar Winter's record at the beginning of this year. His tribute to his brother Johnny. So, you know, that's on the same label. So that kind of thing, you know, just, you know, like, I guess, classic rock and blues and those older artists that he's supporting. So it was really nice that they did this record with us.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe another label might have turned around and said, oh, we've got to do it like this. And Bruce gave us a lot of freedom to put something together that I think it's worked out really, really well. So.
Right. It's good to see somebody doing the right thing instead of for the money, you know, instead of doing it for the art and not the dollar.
I'm sure money comes into it as well.
Of course, but you know what I'm saying. They're doing it for the art and not the almighty dollar, really. I mean, money, of course, is involved, but,
you know. I don't know Bruce well, but my feeling is he wants to have success with the music, you know, and he is a musician and a music fan himself. So, you know, that's what you want in terms of a label rather than it being guys in suits and shady people with cigars in darkened rooms saying, okay, let's look at this graph, you know.
Right.
Sorry, but... we need to bring in the artificial intelligence to make this work.
Exactly. Yep. Well, listen, before you were doing Heavily Cream, what were you involved in? What type of band and what type of music were you doing before you decided to do Heavily Cream?
Well, I brought out a record a few years ago called Salvation and a little bit of touring with that. And then, as I said, I had a band with Kofi Baker, Ginger Sun, and we did a tour in Australia and New Zealand. We had a couple of guests with us on that tour. We had Robin Ford and we had Glenn Hughes. So we did a nice little tour there. And then we decided to take it around the world. So we did three tours in the US and one in the UK. And that brought us up to the end of 2019. And then as I say, a court case began, but nothing to do with Kofi though. Me and Kofi are fine, but yes. So that was going on. But I've done loads of different things over the years. Lots of different bands. I had a band with Leslie West and Corky Lang about 12 years ago. We did a bunch of dates. So you know, I love those guys. And Corky obviously still around. Lots of different things really. But I'm writing this new record that's coming out next year. It's called Fake Humans and Real Dolls. So I'm in the middle of making that record and should be out on the road the back end of next year with major support for that. So I'm hoping...
Very nice. Well, you'll have to come back when you have that album ready.
Oh, Joanne, I would love to. Absolutely.
Oh, please. It'd be an honor. It'd be an honor. Well, now that this is going to be released November 1st, which is what, Wednesday?
November 3rd. November 3rd. Mm. Yeah.
And
whenever that
you guys,
is, yeah.
Do you see a tour coming? Yeah, you see a tour coming with this album?
No, I mean, it's up to the label, really. I mean, I think we could do something. The only problem is some of the key people have sadly left us, like Bernie Marsden, who's all over the record. He passed away this year. Ginger obviously, and then Pete Brown. But I mean, we could still put something amazing together and do a little tour for sure. So I don't know, we'll find out, I guess. But it's out November 3rd. There've already been a couple of singles released. The first one was Sunshine of Your Love, which is featuring Joe Bonamassa singing and playing guitar, and Ginger on drums. And then White Room has just come out a little while ago with Pete Brown singing on that. So, yeah, I think they'll do some singles. And I think there's a really nice vinyl package as well, like a double, double record.
Yeah, you got vinyl, CD, and, of course, available everywhere online, obviously, right? It'll be. So very cool.
Yes, now, and the documentary that runs along with it is available for streaming as well. So that's worth checking out. That's called The Cream Acoustic Sessions, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know that was
so
available.
Like, yeah, so that's like a
very cool
length. You get to see us all. I don't know what we get up
when
to.
Does
but
the
doc, with interviews
what,
and,
yeah, when does the doc
that,
come
I
out?
Believe,
I'm sorry.
That's out already, I believe, in the U.S. I think it's already available for streaming in the U.S. So you can just do it. People can do a search for that.
Yeah.
Or go on Quarter Valley Records website.
Very nice. Now, do you have a website yourself as well, or can people just go to quartorecords.com as well?
Well, if you go to malcolmbrucemusic.com, I've been there, and all my social media stuff is connected to that, and you can join my mailing list, and you can send donations of small bags of money via carrier pigeon if you want, whatever you want. Man.
What are you, Republican? What are you, Republican, begging for money?
How dare you? I'm from the UK.
I know. Please.
What are you, Republican? Yeah, no. I'm just saying,
they've always been asking people for money for something.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well,
yeah.
If you're going to make a dollar and a cent in this world, I'm trying to use a quote that I don't even really understand. But no, I mean, America is almost like my second home. I spent so much time working in the U.S. I love it. I have great friends all across the states. I've lived in Nashville. I've lived in Long Island. I lived in San Francisco, L.A. I've toured all over, so I've kind of got to know it pretty well. But the politics is crazy. But the politics is crazy everywhere, right?
Yeah,
it's not just the U.S. politics. I mean, everywhere
it's
just gone.
You know why it's crazy? You know why it's crazy everywhere? Because it's crazy here. The world follows us. People don't get it.
Well,
what we do here affects the entire world. So cut the shit. I'm done.
So take some responsibility. Come on.
Thank you. Instead of my foul language, you're right. Take some responsibility. I mean, my goodness.
No,
I'm just
true,
so
though.
Over it.
No, it's true. Like, we should all get over the whole thing and have some humility about, you know, it's not about right or wrong anymore. It's about creating a peaceful place, and you know, part of that, unfortunately,
coexist
military. But it's the military industrial, you know, there's a business to, I mean, for instance, in the UK, BAE, which is one of the big, you know, arms manufacturers, their shares are up 16% to 18% since the war in Gaza, you know. So and that's just one example. Like, it's big business to have war. If you have peace, these companies aren't going to make any money for their shareholders.
Right.
I mean, come on, you've got to understand.
No, it's always been like that. Yeah, it's always been like that. Anytime there's a war, people are making money. Yeah. Just crazy.
But, no, I mean, I'm just a peaceful person. I believe in, you know, connecting with spirit, whatever that may mean to you, connecting with the deepest part of yourself and remaining humble and spreading out in the environment, spreading out a peaceful energy and a loving energy. And accepting, you know, a pluralistic society where there are different people and tolerance, you know, and we don't all have to be the same.
No.
And it's not really that ethic doesn't really belong to the left or the right or anything. Those things don't really mean anything anymore. You know, it's we're back in like 1967, 68 now, right? I mean, we're back there. We've got to kind of go, do we want a Vietnam War? Do we want this? Do we want this kind of world? Or do we want a world where we can just sort of allow everyone to, you know, within the law, within not hurting other people, let's allow each of us to be okay and do what we want, you know?
All I want is normalcy and everybody to mind their own business, let people live their lives as free as they're supposed to be, and mind your business.
Yes.
What I do or what you do or what anybody else does is none of your business, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
Listen, let's not talk about that. We're here about this great album. So I could go on and on about this nonsense.
it is important in a loving way to kind of make this statement, because we, each of us can stop that negative energy, you know,
yeah.
And music, you know, music is a great way to do that. Hey, check
it's
this
the
music
healing
out
source.
Or whatever, you know, so
yeah.
It's important.
Me too. I agree. I feel like music is the one thing. I mean, America used to throw huge concerts to support and just bring people together. We need one of those, you know. Let's have an America concert. Celebrate America again. Love your country again. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The damn internet. There's too much. They need to ban. If it's not true, it shouldn't be allowed to be posted. My opinion, but. Whatever, I'm a measly person.
It's complicated, but you know, I think the system is fundamentally flawed at this point. It's corrupt.
No, absolutely.
So it doesn't really matter whether it's, you know, in your case, whether it's Biden or Trump or this person or that person. I mean, I know we can go into details and all that, but if we just look at it, it's not even about those individuals, because you have this huge system, and they're just the figurehead of that system. And so the corruption is deeper than just one individual, because one individual is not calling the shots. It might appear like that because it's a cult of personality in that sense. It's politics is a public relations exercise. You know,
mm-hmm.
while something else is going on in the background, they're telling you one thing while they're doing something else. And that's the nature of it now. It's corrupt.
Yep.
There's no authenticity in the expression of it. And that they justify that and rationalize it, call it diplomacy. But it's kind of crazy, right? We don't have a government that's really working for the people anymore. It's serving itself.
Exactly.
And its corporate partners. You know, it's not anything to do with the people that are beautiful in America. The people are gorgeous. They're lovely people, you know, but the politics is a whole other, it's like a different species of human.
Yeah. Well, I knew there was crazy people here. I just didn't know how many. That's the thing. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, crazy people everywhere, but I think most people aren't crazy, you know, but they get sucked in and caught up in all the craziness, and then they're forced, they're told, well, if you don't take sides, there's something wrong with you, and that's not true, you know.
Right.
There's no side.
Right.
That's a manufactured idea, you know.
Yeah.
It's just
love.
It's just love. That's all there
well,
is,
I hope
really.
I hope your new album is geared towards some of that, because it sounds like it. What's the title again?
Fake Humans and Real Dolls.
There you go.
I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to express all these ideas. Everything that we're sort of sharing at the moment. So we'll see.
Well, somebody's got to do it, and I hope it's you. So, but my goodness. Yeah. So you must be doing a ton of interviews now that the album's coming out on the 3rd. So how's your schedule look? It looks crazy, too?
Yeah, no, you know, my publicist is, John is an amazing guy. So, you know, he's gone pretty easy on me. We're doing like 3 a day at the most, really. So, yeah.
Isn't he such a great guy? Yeah.
He's amazing. Yeah, he's very, very good energy and totally professional and no messing about, you know, just really on the money. So, but, you know, when we first talked about it, he said, well, you know, how many do you want to do a day? And I said, 3 sounds about right. Although I could do more. I could do more, but I think 3 is about, because otherwise you start repeating yourself and kind of
right.
Let me just check my notes and answer your question. I've just got to check my notes here. No, it's great. I've done like 35 or 40 now, I think, and there's probably some more to come. But I've also done some like podcast things on Zoom where they're actually filming, you know.
Yeah.
We're actually visual as well.
Right.
That's
nice.
A slightly different.
Well, you're
experience.
A busy guy, and you deserve to be, because this album is phenomenal. And I got to ask you this: out of all the songs that you redid in this version, which one did you really, really like? I hate to say which one was your favorite, but like, which one was you really were you into? Like, which one do you love the most? That came out the best, and you love listening to it over and over.
Well, that's really hard to answer. I mean, I think one that's close to my heart is Sweet Wine, because my mum wrote that with Ginger Baker.
Oh.
So she coached her maiden name is Godfrey. So So she wrote two songs for Cream. She wrote Sweet Wine and a song called Sleepy Time Time with my dad.
I never knew that.
Yeah. So she's like the fifth member of Cream after Pete Brown, I guess, in that sense. obviously, Felix Pappalardi is cited as being a major influence because he was the producer on a lot of the records. And Felix was in Mountain with Leslie West and Corky Lang.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the producer of the original records. But yeah, my mum wrote a couple of songs with them. So Sweet Wine, I love. And I think it's a really interesting song. It's an unusual song. It's not really a kind of blues rock song. It's got something slightly different to it. The architecture of the structure of the harmony and stuff like that. So I find it really interesting.
I could see, coming from a woman's point of view of songwriting, I could see that probably all the songs she worked on have a different feel entirely.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, the feminine is a beautiful thing. And yes, in a certain context, it can bring a completely different feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really important. There's way too much testosterone in rock music. We need a little
more.
The other stuff.
Well, I definitely have to listen to, I have to listen to Sweet Wine again because I didn't pick that one. And now I have to listen to it again to hear that nuance in there of your mom, because I didn't know that. I didn't know that she was part of the band and wrote songs. That's amazing. How cool is that?
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
She wouldn't, you know, she wouldn't claim to be part of the band, but she was part of the, you know, there were the wives and girlfriends around at the time.
Yeah.
Liz Baker, who was Ginger's first wife, she was around, and Charlotte Martin was Eric's girlfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte actually ended up getting together with Jimmy Page later on, and they have a daughter together called Scarlett, who's a successful photographer in rock music and has shot some like iconic album covers and various different things. So, but Charlotte was around, my mum was around, and Liz was around. So as we call them in this country, I don't know whether you call them the WAGs. It's usually about the sports, like the footballers, the soccer players here. The WAGs means wives and girlfriends.
Oh.
but it's just a kind of silly thing. But yeah, they were all part of what was going on, you know.
Very nice.
So yeah, my mum wrote a couple of songs with them, which was nice.
Very nice. Well, since you're calling from the UK, this call is probably costing you a fortune, and you're going to be making a ton of calls or connections in the next couple weeks, I'm sure, with interviews. I don't want to keep you, but I'd love to play one more song with you on the phone, talk about it, and then let you go if that's okay. I don't want to keep you long.
Oh, no, that'd be fantastic. Thanks, Joan. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. What did I pick? I was going to close with Sunshine of Your Love. But I wanted everybody to hear Born Under a Bad Sign with Paul Rodgers on vocals.
Fantastic.
Let's play that one. This is Born Under a Bad Sign. Paul Rodgers, who I love, love, love. I love all these guys. On vocals, Bernie Marsden, Mo Nazam. On guitars, Malcolm Bruce. On bass, we're not going to say if that's electric or not, and Moreno Boutonnard on guitar. So check this one out, folks. This is on the new album, Heavenly Cream, Acoustic Tribute to Cream. Enjoy.
Bad luck, I won't have no luck at all. Hard luck and trouble has been my only friend. I've been on my own ever since I was 10. Born under a bad sign, I've been down since I began to crawl. If it wasn't for bad luck, oh, I wouldn't have rock it on. Now listen. I can't read, I never learned how to write. My whole life's been just one big fight. Born under a bad sign, I've been down since I began to crawl. There wasn't for bad luck, yeah, yeah, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Carry me to my grave. Born under a bad sign, people have been down since I began to crawl. There was the bad luck, well, I wouldn't have no kind of luck at all. I'm a bad luck. Bad luck, but one for real bad luck, but one for bad luck and trouble, heartache and sadness. I wouldn't have no luck at all. Oh, oh, oh,
very wow. Nice. Great to hear Paul. Oh my God, so bluesy. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a little different
yes.
for him, right? I mean, it's
yeah.
like he sounds deeper in tonality, and then just that last note is beautiful because he kind of just brings in a little raunch, you know, but he keeps it pretty clean. Like
absolutely. Oh,
it's
great to hear from
yeah,
him.
He's
an
absolute master of the voice. Incredible voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite sayings. That's one of my favorite sayings, too. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. So, you know. So,
well, it's
to
like
hear...
it's, that's the blues. It makes you feel
yep.
good, even though it's saying you feel terrible. Ah, I feel, but not as terrible as the other guy or whatever.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Oh, what a great, 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 great song. And oh, my God, Paul, you all sound great. And it was wonderful to hear Paul in that version and in that light. I've never, like you said, I've never heard him sing like that before. So very nice.
Yeah. No, he's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. I'm a huge Bad Company fan. So I wish they would do something. Oh, man. But
well,
I knew
I knew Andy Fraser quite well from Free, which was, you know, Paul's first band
yeah.
Or earlier band. Andy was a lovely, lovely guy and co-wrote All Right Now with
yeah
Paul. So there you go. But
great
tune. But yeah, Bad Company, they should do it. They should.
Everybody
should
do it. We need to get real music back out there. The music out there today, I mean, for the kids, it's great. For us, it sucks. I mean, come on. You know, I'd rather hear good rock or blues or something, you know, something that's meaningful and real with real musicians. And, you know, this album is just phenomenal. It just brings back what we are missing in music. And it's
that's
just
it.
Great.
Well,
I love it.
We appreciate the support, Joanne. Yeah. I mean, you know, let's hope it gets some exposure and, you know, people get to hear it and they buy it and we can all retire to the beach in, I don't know, Barbados?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, wherever.
Anywhere.
Anywhere
where it's nice. Anywhere where it's nice and not raining. Is it raining today over there?
Oh, of course it is.
Every day, right? Well, it's raining here, too.
No,
so
not
like
we
I'm
had a beautiful summer. We had a beautiful summer here.
I feel like I'm sitting right next to you because we have rain. We've had rain every weekend for the last maybe 5 or 6 weeks. It's just been nuts.
You're on the, so you're in New Jersey or East Coast somewhere?
Yes, yes. New Jersey, literally 10 minutes from the city, New York. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know it well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've almost died on that freeway plenty of times.
Oh, God.
You have to like come, you have to come onto the freeway from like the little entrance thing, but nobody ever stops. And it's like 20 minutes outside the city or something. And nobody
ever
stops.
Yeah, everybody
stops,
always
just
says,
kind of go, okay, I'm going to go now.
Yeah, a lot of New Yorkers say they hate driving in Jersey. I don't know why. It's no big deal to me. I don't know. But you coming to New York anytime soon or what? When you come in the city?
I would love to come back. Yeah, I mean, I'm for this record, I'm going to be working with some agents to probably like September, October, November next year and just build my record, you know, with some single releases and just build it all up and then come back. Last time I was in the city, I played Sony Hall, which is a great venue. But I used to play Iridium a lot, and I played BB's. I used to play BB's a lot. That's what, sadly, obviously not there anymore. But Sony Hall's a great little club type venue, really, really nice spot. So, yeah, hopefully I'll be back.
Yeah, any of these folks that you worked with, any of these folks that you worked with on the album going to join you in your new project that's coming up?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't really decided yet. You know, do you think I should, like, ask Paul Rogers to sing
my
tambourine and backing vocals for me?
Could you imagine? Paul, please play the tambourine. Yeah, right.
I don't think he's going to do that.
No, not at all.
It was an honor to play with these guys. But, yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
You know, this is the funny thing about music. We have to follow our path and... you know, my band has to be full of like, you know, all women, probably around the age of 28 to 30, you know, just like Prince had, you know, Prince's final band, it was called Prince and Third Eye Girl or something. And it was just an amazing band because it was all girls. And, you know, as you said before, like women tend not to get the same, they're not taken as seriously in rock music, but there are amazing women drummers and women guitarists and bass players and all kinds. And you know, as a woman, there's the stereotype, you're supposed to be the sexy girl out singing, and but what if you're an incredible musician? I mean, I'm generalizing, of course, because there's a lot of amazing people that have success, but I just thought maybe that might be a nice idea. I'm joking, but maybe I'm not.
Nah. Well, if any band wants to succeed overnight with the crappiest song ever, perform naked.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I was thinking everyone needs a gimmick, right? And,
right.
Maybe the sex tape is the way to go. I mean, it worked for Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton. You know, I mean, it was, and the name of her sex tape, One Night in Paris, was kind of genius. I mean, whoever thought of that was pretty clever.
Yeah.
I think they got sued though afterwards.
Yeah, it's just amazing how people can become famous now. There's no work behind it like it used to be, and you know, the
famous for being famous.
Yeah, no pushing the pavement and you know, killing yourself to get it where you want to be. And now it's just one video and that's it. You're famous. You know, crazy.
Well, you know, it's the
sign
of
the
time. Late stage decadent, the fall of the Roman Empire or whatever you want to call it.
Yes, exactly.
Hopefully we're transitioning to a new kind of world, a better world for all of us.
Let's hope.
Where we become famous for not just because we're famous, but because we're also able to do something of value, you know.
Right.
I mean, Kim Kardashian, she seems like a really amazing person. So maybe just being a really amazing person, it is enough. I don't know. She seems.
I don't know her. I don't watch the show. I've never seen it. I've never seen the sex tape. Not that I would want to. So to me, I see nothing appealing about her, her family, nothing other than that they're riding a wave that they were blessed to ride and whatever, you know.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
It's a phenomenon of our times in that sense, that something that doesn't really have
any meaning or substance.
What it is.
Exactly.
But it's just taking up all the space. But, you know, there's a lot of that going on in the world at the moment. We just, it's part of our evolution, I guess, you know. But, yes, I need a gimmick. So if you could, Joanne, just let me know. Have a think about it. And if you can think of maybe not a sex tape, another gimmick. I don't know. Like, I could split the atom whilst playing the guitar or something like that. You know, maybe that. But in a good way, not as a...
Yeah, you'll have to come up with something, You'll have to come up with something. Oh, my goodness.
I'll
folks,
have to think about it.
Mr. Malcolm Bruce, musician, singer, great guy. Oh, my God. Heavenly Cream... is the band. The album is acoustic tribute to Cream. Every song is phenomenal. We've played two for you today and they were great, so I'm going to close with the biggie, and you know, you got to check it out. Go to malcolmbrucemusic.com to find out where he's playing, and you can get all his info there and his social. And my goodness, Malcolm, thank you so very much for joining me today. It was a pleasure, an honor, once again, to be speaking to the legend, Jack Bruce's son, of all things. I mean, Jack Bruce was, your father was just a legend in his own time as well. So the band itself, Cream, I mean, my God, much was just spawned from Cream. Like you said, everybody went on to great careers and other bands. Without Cream, who knows where they would have been. These other bands may have never even came out.
Yes. Well, they brought musicianship to pop music, you know, and improvisation, jamming, and just, so, I mean, I think they're still unparalleled in many ways, you know, as a group.
I agree.
And, you know, I'm obviously very proud of my dad and what he achieved. And so this is, along the way, this is a nice thing to do, to honor him. While I'm getting my own thing together, man.
Beautiful.
So thank you so much, Joan. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, listen.
And support.
Thank you.
I might stay on the line, if that's okay, just to listen to this track, this next song, if that's okay.
Oh, well, you could stay, absolutely. I was just going to announce that I have a bunch of people coming up, and then I was going to close out. But, folks, we've got a... You know, we took a little break in October. We only had a few shows here and there because I had a lot going on. But we are jam-packed for November. Chris, and December, if you've got Christmas music, I want you. Come and call me, email me, applauseradioshow@gmail.com. Tell me you want to be on the show. I want to get in the Christmas spirit with you and all the listeners. So I want to do all Christmas for December. So if you guys have any Christmas music, I don't know if you have it. You have to tell me. So let me know and we'll have you on. I've already got a few guests booked, but please feel free to reach out. We'd love to have you on. So November 1st, Keith Vivido. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but he played Little Ricky on I Love Lucy. That's going to be cool. Rick Sudi Karatas is joining us again. He's got a new Christmas song out and a tribute to Olivia Newton-John. we've got Michael Gutenplan on, and he's going to, I don't have his information in front of me, so, but he'll be on the 6th, and then on the 8th, Fabulous Ruta Lee will be back. Greg Oppenheimer, who is the son of, I believe, Jeff Oppenheimer from I Love Lucy as well. We've got a lot of Lucy stuff going on. Let's see. Who we got on? We've got Bill. Oh, God, I can't see it. Pastilli from The Rascals is going to join us. My handwriting's horrible, Malcolm. This is on my calendar scribbled as I'm confirming people, crossing people off for moving days around. John Barber will be on. Albert Bouchard is going to be on from Blue Oyster Cult. Michelle is going to be back giving you guys your favorite free psychic readings. We've got author Douglas, I don't have his last name in front of me. We've got Herbie J. Pilato on. He wrote the book about Elizabeth Montgomery, Bewitched. So we're going to have a great month. And again, December, come and hang out with us. So again, Mr. Bruce, thank you so much. Malcolm Bruce, everybody. Check out the album. Heavenly Cream comes out November 3rd. It's the acoustic tribute to Cream. It has been an absolute pleasure, sir. You enjoy the rest of your evening. Cheers. And
thank
please,
you.
please, I would love to have you back when your new album comes out.
Oh, I would love to come back, Joanne. And I'm going to stick around just for a few minutes to listen to the song over my phone because I'm enjoying it.
Yes,
absolutely. So much,
and yeah, no, thank you. It was a pleasure. And please, anytime, Malcolm, I would love to have you back on. It's an honor. Thank you so much. So, folks, this is Sunshine of Your Love from the new album, Heavenly Cream, the acoustic tribute to Cream. Enjoy. Have a great rest of your day or evening if you're in the UK. And we will see you guys back on November 1st with actor Keith. I don't want to butcher his name. Keith Dibido. I hope I'm saying that right. And on Sunshine of My Life, we've got who? We got Love. We've got who on that one? Where is it? Hold on.
Oh, it's Joe Bonamassa. I can tell you. It's Joe Bonamassa.
Tell us.
Joe Bonamassa singing and playing guitar. Bernie Marsden singing back and vocals and playing guitar. Me on piano. Mm-hmm. And Neil Murray on bass, Abbas Dodu on percussion, and Ginger Baker on the drums.
Very nice. And this is basically this album is the last time Ginger played. So it's another treat if you want to own this record. It's in vinyl, CD, or online. And it's Ginger Baker's last performances and also Pete's as well, Pete Brown. So. Mm-hmm. Another great reason to have it. So just amazing. Everybody, Malcolm Bruce, thank you, sir. Have a great day. This is Sunshine of Your Love off of the new album, Heavenly Cream, acoustic tribute to Cream. Take care, everybody. Have a great rest of your day, a great week. We'll see you on the 1st. And don't forget the album, November 3rd, coming out on Quartro Records. And don't forget to go also to MalcolmBruceMusic.com. He's also on Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. So what a pleasure. Thank you so much again, Malcolm. Take care.
Thanks,
enjoy the song. I love you guys. Have a good one. Take care. Bye-bye.